The following program is paid content from the Organization Free Your Children. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of Free Your Children and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Kennedy Broadcasting Company, LLC, its owners, and management. Welcome in to Free Your Children, sharing truth and love about education. And here's your host, Tiffany Boyd.
Welcome to Free Your Children on WKOM 101.7 FM. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and our mission here at Free Your Children is to share the truth and love about education. There's a battle raging for the souls of our nation's children, and I hope this ministry equips you for battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. I want to thank Safe Storage for sponsoring today's show and also John Paul Financial Services. John Paul Financial Services has been in business for more than 30 years offering retirement planning, basic and advanced legacy planning, as well as small or large-term life insurance. For a free consultation on how a living trust or a guaranteed retirement plan may help you, call 931-979-6170 or by email jplivingtrusttn.com. That's 931-979-6170 or by email jplivingtrusttn.com. Reach out to both of those fantastic businesses and they'll be happy to take care of you. I also want to thank our friends of Free Your Children. Your generous donations, your volunteerism, and your help and support help us to continue sharing the work and doing what we do here at Free Your Children. If you are new to Free Your Children and would like more information, check out our website at freeyourchildren.com. I want to encourage you to also take a look at the toolkit that we have there. We have broken down several topics that you may find of interest, and we have resources listed under those topics that we hope can help equip you with what you need to preserve your parental, educational, and constitutional rights. You can also find me over on X, Telegram, Facebook. You can email me at freeyourchildren@gmail.com. Send me your tips or topics that you would like to discuss. I would be more than happy to hear from you. And also, you can find me over on the Borough Pulse. That's BoroPulse.com. There, I am a monthly contributor. You can read all the articles that I have penned to date about education. And we appreciate the Borough Pulse and all the work that they're doing to help equip parents as well. You can also find me over on Rumble. We have a new Rumble channel. We're trying to get as much content uploaded there as possible as quickly as we can. Free Your Children is growing. We are blessed to be able to do what we do, but today's show is going to be a little bit different. I was contacted by some parents in a county here in Tennessee about an alleged incident that occurred. And this particular county is White County. It is the White County Public School System there. They have been in the news before. And so I wanted to give you some background information regarding this particular school district. I have done, like I said previously, I've done some reporting on some incidents that have happened there. You may have remembered, if you have been around for a little while, you may have remembered when Free Your Children exposed a murder assignment in White County Public Schools. This was the White County Middle School where this happened. This particular story was picked up by WSMV. I was contacted by a reporter who saw my post. Then it went on and was picked up by the Christian Post and WorldNet Daily. I also interviewed school board member Dwayne Howard on my radio show, and you can find that over on the Free Your Children Spotify channel where we discussed this murder assignment that wound up making national news, and that was in August of 2023. Then in November of 2023, I was contacted by parents Destiny and Josh Hancock. They had a child that went to public school in White County. It was Woodland Park Elementary School. And they reached out to me regarding an individual that had access to the special needs preschool children at this school. This individual had been hired by a third party and was working at Woodland Park Elementary School. It was a man that was dressed as a woman. He had an OnlyFans account associated with his name, and he also had pornographic pictures uploaded to social media, as well as rants where he was explaining his hatred toward America. So the family reached out to me. They were also interviewed on my radio show, where they went into detail about the lack of transparency within that particular elementary school. And the mother, Destiny, had confronted school personnel with the situation. And you could listen to her audio recording. And so this incident was picked up by libs of TikTok. So, you know, White County School District has been in the news for, you know, multiple different incidents recently that, you know, I have shared and other media sources have shared. And then in 2019, Fox 17 reported that a teacher was being investigated by the White County Sheriff's Office for alleged abuse of a four-year-old special needs child at Woodland Park Elementary School. Those allegations included the teacher spitting on the child and sticking her fingers down the child's throat. Another family levied allegations that the teacher body slammed their five-year-old child. Then again, in October of 2023, they had a middle school social studies teacher who was also a softball and football coach arrested. His name was Austin Damon Allen, and charged with three counts of rape of a child. So lots of issues going over the on in White County schools. So when I was contacted regarding another alleged incident of abuse, and I'm going to say, disclaimer before we even get started in this interview, that there have been no arrests made regarding this particular incident. And everyone is presumed innocent until found guilty. But we do have someone that wanted to come on and share their experiences with White County schools, particularly Woodland Park Elementary School, and an incident that involved, you know, their child. But I want to give you a little bit of background before we delve in a little deeper, because I have covered instances of abuse in schools for quite some time now, and I've been trying to shed a light on this so parents are better equipped to know exactly what's going on in the public school system. So I penned an article a couple of years ago, and I want to share some excerpts of that to kind of set the stage for what we're going to be talking about. And it's this: many people fail to understand that this is not an anomaly. Abuse occurs frequently across all socioeconomic demographics. The most recent incident, in particular, when I had written this article, was an incident in the system in the area where we live. This one happened in Williamson County schools. This, in our area of Tennessee, is supposed to be the gold standard. Everyone moves into that area to send their children to school in that particular area. And they had a gentleman who was arrested. He was a vice principal at one time. Then he was demoted to a teacher. And he was also arrested for horrible crimes. He wound up evading police. It was a story that you can go back and read about. I've shared about that. But what you need to understand is this happens everywhere. And parents need to be aware of this. And it's also important to understand that the lack of a federal mandatory school crime reporting and tracking law for K-12 schools means that on a national level, no one actually knows in real numbers how many crimes occur on K-12 school campuses nationwide. Federal statistics grossly underestimate the extent of school crime and violence, according to schoolsecurity.org. Furthermore, federal crime reporting requirements were established for colleges and universities in 1990 under the Crime Awareness and Campus Security Act, later formally named the Clery Act. No such federal law exists for K-12 schools, and there's no indication that anyone in Congress or the education community plans to create such crime reporting requirements for our nation's elementary and secondary schools. critical race theory, social and emotional learning, and Marxist indoctrination are all major talking points surrounding public schools, which they should be. But this is like the elephant in the room, because this is one subject that most people will not touch and do not want to discuss. So there's an organization called Stop Educator Sexual Abuse, Misconduct, and Exploitation, SESAMI. It describes itself as a national voice for prevention of abuse by educators and other school employees. It has compiled alarming statistics on the incidences of sexual abuse in schools nationwide, reporting that just under 500 educators were arrested in 2015. And then I believe it was in 2022, I think those statistics of educators that were arrested regarding sex crimes were close to 350, I believe. So of children in 8th through 11th grade, about 3.5 million students, nearly 7% surveyed, reported having had physical sexual contact from an adult, most often a teacher or coach. The type of physical contact ranged from unwanted touching of their body all the way up to sexual intercourse. This statistic increases to about 4.5 million children, 10%, when it takes other types of sexual misconduct into consideration, such as being shown pornography, being subjected to sexually explicit language, or exhibitionism. Very often, other teachers thought there might be something going on, but we were afraid to report a fellow educator or thought there was a chance that they had been mistaken. They didn't want to be responsible for ruining a person's life. And so this is what we're looking at within the education community. Sexual harassment is common at every stage of education. Verbal and physical harassment begins in elementary school, and 4 out of 5 children experience some form of sexual harassment or bullying. That comes from K12academics.com. 8 out of 10 will experience this at some point in their school lives, and roughly 25% will experience this often. Boys are more likely to physically harass and bully others or to be physically bullied themselves, and girls are more likely to use and experience verbal and psychological harassment and bullying. 6 out of 10 students will experience some form of physical sexual harassment. A survey conducted by the American Association University of Women on 2,064 students in 8th through 11th grade noted 83% of girls have been sexually harassed. 78% of boys have been sexually harassed. 38% of students were harassed by teachers or school employees. 36% of school employees or teachers were harassed by students. And 42% of school employees or teachers had been harassed by each other. And these are the statistics that we know of, because much of this goes underreported. So I am thankful for the parents who are willing to come forward, the school board members who are willing to shine a light on the abuse that is occurring, because it is most definitely, you know, the elephant in the room, and it needs to be discussed, because we need to get to the root of the problem and our children need to be protected. So this brings me to the situation that I was alerted to once again regarding an alleged incident that happened at Woodland Park Elementary School. Now, our guest today wishes to remain anonymous, and we're going to honor that, but he also wants to tell his story. I don't want to speak for him, but I would venture to say that one reason why he wants to come forward is because he wants to make sure that any other parents that have experienced this, you know, courage breeds courage. And when parents speak up, it encourages other parents to speak up, and we have to have advocates for the children. So I'm going to introduce our guest by just referring to him as Parent. And so, Parent, would you want to weigh in on why you're here today, first off?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for having me on.
It's an honor to have you.
So, yes, our son is 4 years old. And he did attend Woodland Park Elementary. He was part of the special education class that they offer there for pre-K. He is nonverbal, and these classes are meant to be able to help with nonverbal as well as any children that may be on any kind of spectrum, is what they're supposed to be trained in, being able to help these children be acclimated into a school system. And that's absolutely would not happen at other schools as well. And it's just a shame because these kids, they are in need of these special education classes. They can't come home and say, hey, they were being mean to me. Hey, they were being mean to our friend or anything like that. And a lot of these kids are so easy to forgive and forget and move on.
Right.
That even if they were coming home and saying something, they might not remember by the end of the day.
Right. Let me ask you this. That the district, the White County School District that you live in, is that the only elementary school that provides these services for special needs children in your area?
So for us in our area, yes. It is the only school that provides the special education for pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, and I believe second grade.
Okay.
Other than that, the other schools in the area do offer it, but not until after third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unacceptable.
So these children in this classroom, they're young. So you would say they're like 3 to 5 years old. Is that the age demographic of the class that your child was in?
Yes. And now he's been in the same program for 2 years. So he was there for his, I guess, pre-K year as well. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So it's teachers that are handling all these students.
Did you say three teachers handling all these students?
Yes. So there's three teachers. There's one teacher and two assistants.
Okay. How large is the class? Do you know how many kids they have in the classroom?
I think it's 14 kids.
Okay. Okay. And so the teacher is a special ed teacher. Does she have an endorsement, in special education? And then they have the two paraprofessionals or aides, whatever they want to call them.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So your child has been enrolled there for how long, would you say?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. And so how were you alerted to the fact that there was a problem?
That's where it gets very interesting. So my wife received a call from the school one day while she was at work. She was unable to answer the phone. When she got a chance, she called me and asked me to call and find out what was going on. I called. I didn't get a hold of anybody that day. But the next morning, I received a call from the principal of the school, Julie Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And I was informed that they also had Ms. Mullinex, which is vice principal.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Larry Thompson, who is the special education board of directors. And they informed me that there was an incident involving my son. They beat around the bush for, I would say, a good 5 minutes before I got to the point where I was frustrated. And I was like, what happened to my son? You are not telling me. You've only said there's been an incident and that the teacher had been removed from the school or from the classroom. And that there was an incident and never said anything else. So I finally got fed up and I was just like, you need to tell me what happened. They said, okay, well, he was put into a chair by himself and isolated from the class. And I said, okay, so you put him in timeout. I can understand that. And they said, well, that's not a policy that we allow at this school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I understand that as well. I just hope that nobody got in trouble. And I left it at that. Because mm-hmm. to me, like they said, he had been put in timeout.
Mm-hmm.
So a few days later, we had not been able to contact our son's teacher for about 3 days. And my wife called back up to the school and she spoke with Ms. Mullinex, who informed her then at that time that he was not just put in timeout. He had been forcefully held and restrained by an adult into the chair.
Mm-hmm.
We did not take lightly. He's not a danger to anybody. He is not a danger to himself. And from what we've uncovered, they do allow restraints on children, special needs children, if they are deemed needed.
Mm-hmm.
And for our son, he was never deemed needed to be restrained.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started our fight then. And that's when we tried to get copies of the report. My wife had been informed that DCS had been involved and that they would be investigating.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of days after that, we had an investigator show up at our house. And he informed us that it was not him, that there was other children that were being forced, restrained, and held in these chairs by the adults that are there to take care of them, to provide for them. And that's when we really went off the handle.
And I'm going to get you to pause right there. We need to take a quick break. If you're listening in, you want to join us right back to hear the rest of this story. So we're going to jump off here, quick break, join us right back.
Hey, this is George Plaster, and for the very best in sports, keep your dial on 101.7 FM WKOM.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC. Parks Motor Sales was founded by my granddad, Bobby Parks, and my great-granddad, Julian Mays, in 1958. We've been family-owned the whole time, and being family-owned, locally-owned, means you get to get your next vehicle or your existing vehicle serviced by the same people who stand in the grocery line with you, drop their kids off at the same school you do, and smile and are happy to see you when they do. So come see us at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee on 919 Nashville Highway or parksmotorsales.com.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the Garbage Man. Over 10 years ago, the Garbage Man Incorporated teamed up with former County Commissioner Mr. Glenn Hassey and Keep Murray County Beautiful to provide garbage service for the 8 boat ramps. The county brought in signs and posts, and we provided the carts and weekly service. The Garbage Man Incorporated is proud to be a part of furnishing a much-needed service to the boaters of Murray County. We live in Murray County, too, and are proud to be good corporate citizens. We encourage you to use and enjoy this convenience and keep the Duck River beautiful.
Are you tired of living with neuropathy? If you're living with pain and numbness in your feet, then you understand that most treatments only target the symptoms of your neuropathy. At the Dr. Gill Center, our customized therapies target the underlying causes of neuropathy, promoting healing and helping to restore function. Are you ready to say goodbye to pain and limitations of neuropathy and hello to a brighter pain-free future? Call 615-794-0800 and ask about our $49 special. Take the first step. Start living pain-free with Dr. Gill Center. Call me, painfree.com.
As a former small business owner here in Columbia, I know how important it is to stay connected to clients and the community. That's why at Caledonian Financial, we make every effort possible to give back to this community that has given so much to us. We do this by supporting our local schools, nonprofit organizations, and community outreach programs, to name a few. We are so proud of our town. This is Blair Park Sickman with Caledonian Financial in historic downtown Columbia.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through NBC Securities Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Matt Perales, manager of Murray County Equipment. We help you with all your agriculture and construction equipment needs. We carry a full line of New Holland tractors from compacts to high horsepower. We have a full line of Gravely mowing equipment. We also have New Holland construction equipment, attachments, and accessories for your tractors and a complete parts department. We are locally owned and operated. Come see us at 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard or learn about us on Facebook or contact us at 931-490-8183.
Hello, welcome back to Free Your Children. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and we are joined by a parent who has a special needs son, and there are allegations of abuse at Woodland Park Elementary School, and he was telling his story, and we're going to recap that in just a moment. But I do want to say that I did reach out to the vice principal at Woodland Park Elementary School to give them an opportunity to make a statement regarding this alleged incident. I contacted Ms. Mullinax, who is the vice principal, or I attempted to, and I was told that she was not in the office and that they had been they'd been told to have anyone inquiring about this incident to contact Kurt Dronebarger at the White County School Central Office, which I did. So I made that phone call, and I was told that he also was not in the office for the day, and I was advised to leave a message if I chose to do so, which I did, and as of the recording of this show, I have not received any communication from Mr. Kurt Dronebarger from White County Schools regarding these alleged incidents. So I did reach out. They have not given me an official statement. I am speaking to a parent who has a child that states that his child was a victim of abuse at Woodland Park Elementary School. Those are the allegations. I'm going to let him tell his story, but I actually have copies of the police reports and the incident reports. I have been contacted by other parents as well, who say that I'm actually getting messages sent to me during the recording of this, of parents that are claiming that their children have also been abused at Woodland Park Elementary School. They wish to remain anonymous because they fear retaliation and they want to tell their story as well. So clearly there are issues that need to be addressed at Woodland Park Elementary School, and I hope that happens because, you know, our children deserve to be protected and they deserve to be able to come to school and learn in an environment that's safe and that is conducive to learning. So the police report that I have here, let me pull it up. It states that it was an incident from 4/16/2024 to 4/16/2024 with timestamps 1:52 p.m. to 2:05 p.m. Incident location, Woodland Park Elementary School. And this is the reporting agency is the White County Sheriff's Office. Follow-up officer, Chris Russell. So it says arrest, no arrest associated with this incident. And then it lists the parties that have been named. So there were three suspects. This was Isla Marie Ledbetter was one suspect. Cassie Lute, I may be mispronouncing their names. You can correct me if I'm wrong. That's a suspect. And then another suspect was Jenya Martin. And then it lists 1, 2, 3, 4 victims on the police report that I'm looking at. First victim, white male, 4 years old. Second victim, male, 5 years old. Third victim, male, 4 years old. Fourth victim, a white male, 4 years old. So these are preschool children. And then it goes on to give a narrative, which says the following is a summary, not verbatim. I was informed by Mrs. Julie Johnson, Woodland Park principal, of an incident involving 4 CDC pre-K students and 3 of the staff. Ms. Johnson stated that on 4/16/24, she was informed that Ms. Jenya Martin and her 2 assistants had been using a spray bottle filled with water to squirt 4 students as a correction tactic for when they were not obeying. The 4 students and staff are named above in this report. A DCS referral was made by Assistant Principal Amber Mullinax. The incident did occur in White County. End of report. Then I received another message from a parent who also says that her child was a victim of abuse. She's alleging that her child, too, was a victim of abuse at White County in Woodland Park Elementary School in White County. And this is a supplemental for an incident. It says it's filed at the White County Sheriff's Office. This goes on to say it was created by Troy Parmel. And the date is 4/25/24. I redacted the names of the minors in this report. They were not redacted when it was given to me, but it says on April 25th, Ms. Johnson and Ms. Mullinax came to me to add that blank were mishandled by way of being forced into a chair. This information was reported by a paraprofessional to DCS and should have been included in the original report. Also, blank mother blank inquired why blank, these are all the redactions that I myself made, was not mentioned in the report. The reason why is that his name was never mentioned to Mrs. Johnson, Mrs. Mullinax, or myself as being involved in any way. If his name was mentioned to anyone, it was DCS. This incident did occur in White County. End of supplement. So those are official documents that I have been provided from parents that claim that their children were involved in these incidents of abuse at Woodland Park Elementary School. So you were explaining, going into detail about your son's experiences at this school. So you were told, let's recap a little bit. So you received a phone call from the school, correct?
Yes. So we received the call and I was basically told that he was put in timeout and we let it. A few days later, my wife received a call from the vice principal. Where she was told that he was forced, restrained, and isolated into the chair by the adults. My wife immediately was like, I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. He was forced and restrained and isolated into the chair. And Ms. Mullinax, on the other end of the line, took a deep sigh and then said yes. Mm-hmm. So that's when we began our fight. And then we had our DCS investigator show up. He informed us of the same thing that we just said, that they were being forced and restrained into the chairs. But then he informed us that there was a police report involved. And so I immediately went to the police station to collect a report. Didn't receive it that day, found out it was actually at the sheriff's office, went and received it. And that's when we learned that they were being sprayed with the water bottles.
Okay.
And treated like animals. And the parent that you were just referring to, we have been in contact with her routinely throughout this entire ordeal.
Okay.
And she has told us that they were informed the same day that we were informed. So they had known about her child being forced and restrained into the chairs. They screwed up and he got left out of the report.
Okay.
Not that he was never mentioned to them.
Right. Let me ask you this. So one thing that I read said that a paraprofessional reported it. So what prompted the school to even contact you? Did one of the aides, a paraprofessional is a teacher's aide. Back when I was a classroom teacher, we didn't refer to them as paraprofessionals. They were teacher's aides. So mm-hmm. That's what, if you're listening to this and you don't know what a paraprofessional is, it's a teacher's aide. So did a teacher's aide, is that who kind of blew the whistle on this? Are they the ones that contacted DCS and said, hey, there's a problem at Woodland Park Elementary School? You know, these individuals are allegedly abusing these children. What prompted the school to actually contact you?
So from what we were told, how it was explained to us is that another paraprofessional from a different classroom.
Okay.
Witnessed the behavior.
Okay. So
he reported it to Julie Johnson, mm-hmm. who Julie Johnson told me she directly reported it to DCS on their website. But then it also came out later that it was Ms. Mullinax on the police report that created the report. So there's just too many inconsistencies with their stories.
Well, thank goodness if that particular teacher's aide from the other classroom was the one that witnessed this and had the integrity and the ability to do the right thing and the bravery, because what I'm finding is so too many people are afraid to come forward. They're afraid they're going to lose their job. They're afraid of backlash from the community. How are the parents in that community receiving this information? Are they willing to come forward? Do they not want to talk about it? There should be like an uproar. Like, parents should be enraged that this is happening at that school. And this isn't the first time, allegedly. I mean, this particular school has been in the news multiple times for abuse, for different incidences that have gone on. What is the climate there?
So we're kind of outsiders. We're not from the area. We're not even from the state. We moved here recently.
Mm-hmm.
But in our, from what we've experienced, it's such a tight knit community and everybody knows everybody and their mother and their mm-hmm. father and their grandfathers. So for us, we're seeing it as they're not willing to stand up against their friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're not willing to badmouth anybody. And for me, I don't care who you are. You've hurt my child.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, however you have hurt them, now you're hurting me.
Well,
and I'm not going to
exactly.
Either.
good for you. I mean, I'm glad that you are willing to do the right thing and stand up and advocate not only for your child, but for other children as well, because this is clearly a pervasive problem and it keeps happening because people aren't willing to take it as far as it needs to go to stop this behavior. Have you actually had a conversation with Kurt Dronbarger? Because I think he's like the superintendent. I guess that's what they call him over there in White County. He's over the school system, the director of school, superintendent. He's the head honcho, right?
Yes, I have not. We have not personally spoken with him. We've spoken with Larry Thompson, who's the special education board of director.
So
he hasn't been any help either.
So Dronbarger hasn't even reached out to you to address this?
No.
Okay.
No, the only people that have reached out to us directly has been the school. Other than that, we've been the ones contacting everybody else.
Wow. So are the parents, there were four victims, according to the police report that I have, you know, access to. Have you found and been able to locate all four families that that particular police report would be referring to?
So the police report we received, the children's names were already redacted.
Right.
And they were just put with asterisks, no
yes,
names.
Right.
So we don't know for sure who we've spoken with and who is on the report. Well, okay. We know who we've spoken with, but we don't know if they're on the reports.
Have you been able to locate four total, including yourself?
As of right now, including ourselves, we've only been able to really contact two people.
Okay.
That have said, yes, this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
The other parents that have gotten our number through the grapevine, mm-hmm, and have contacted us saying, hey, do you know what happened? Our child has been in the class with them, in Miss Jinya's class, and mm-hmm, we're just trying to find out what happened or if they were involved.
Right. And now, my sources tell me that they fired the two paraprofessionals or teacher's aide, but that the teacher was allowed to resign. Is that what you have heard?
Yes. So originally we were told by the DCS investigator that the teacher and the two assistant teachers had been removed from the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Not school, removed from the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I found disgusting. And after I received our police report and we realized that not only were they being forced into chairs, they were being sprayed like animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I reached out to Larry Thompson and I contacted him and I told him and not so nice words about my disgust that these teachers were even still allowed to be near these children.
Right. What was his response?
He then told me that they had all been fired. Mm-hmm. All three had been fired. But then we found out just recently that was not the case. The two aides were fired and the teacher was able to resign.
Yeah. So let's talk about this for a moment. If your child were verbal and he went to school and he told a teacher that you were spraying him in the face with a water bottle, that you were slamming him in chairs, that you were physically restraining him, that you were holding his head down, how do you think mm-hmm the outcome of that would have been?
Oh, the outcome of that would be easy. I would be arrested and removed
yes
from my family until proven innocent.
Exactly. So what I'm seeing is that, because this isn't the first time that I have had families contact me and make allegations that their child had been abused or was being abused in a school environment. And what I'm finding is oftentimes that is not followed up with the same measure of accountability that parents would be held. They're held to different standards. So you're right. Your children would likely be removed from you. DCS would step in. You would likely be arrested, charged with abuse. But we're not, it doesn't seem to me, this is my opinion, that we're applying that same measure to educators that are, if they're found to be guilty, if there's an investigation and they're found to be guilty, we're just seeing it fall flat. You know, I'm not seeing much follow-up in these incidents. So do
yes,
you feel like
it needs to their licenses removed. They need to be not allowed to work with children or in any kind of school system ever again. You know, a lot of these teachers that do get caught and charged and arrested, they, you know, move to another state and they continue working.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, absolutely. Or if they're allowed to resign, then they can just go apply somewhere else and get a job there. And so,
and
yeah.
I have two other children that attend separate schools. My daughter's in a daycare, mm-hmm. and my oldest to a different school because he's not needed in the special needs program.
Right.
And so with her being able to resign, she can go work at my oldest son's school or right. at my daughter's daycare. And right. that is just not okay.
No, it's not. And let me ask you this. So did you see any physical signs looking back now? Did you see any physical signs that could have led you to believe that there could have been abuse going on at the school with your son?
Yes. So we initially we didn't really think that we had come across any signs or markings or anything like that. But the same woman that we were just speaking about, she was able, her son's a little bit more verbal. Mm-hmm. They were able to get a little bit more out of him after talking with him. And he explained to them that not only had they been forcing him and straining him into the chairs and squirting him with the water bottles, that they would actually slam their heads into the desk and hold them down at their desk and not let him and his friends move for long times. Mm-hmm. And so we started thinking about it. And, you know, our son, he's really big for his age and he's a little bit clumsy. Mm-hmm. But there have been many times that he's come home with bruises on his forehead that you can tell it's not, he just ran into something. He's not on the side of his head. It's not like on his cheek or anything. It's right in his forehead where if he was pushed down, that's what's going to hit the desk. There's mm-hmm. been times he's come home with bruises on his biceps and on his forearms and they, you know, they do resemble fingerprint.
Mm-hmm. Horrifying. It's just, absolutely horrifying. So, how was his behavior toward attending school? Like, did he hesitate? Was he hesitant about coming or going to school in the mornings? What was that like? Did he seem eager to go? Or did, looking back now, do you feel like, you know, he may have been trying to tell you in other ways because he's nonverbal that, you know, he was afraid?
There may have been a few instances where he was not wanting to get on the bus to go to school. But normally he would be pretty excited to go. But like I mentioned earlier, he's very forgive and forget. He could be upset with 1 second and 2 seconds later, he's completely okay.
Right.
And it's just, that's just his personality. He doesn't hold any grudges and he's ready to move on with his life.
Right.
And great for him. I love that about him. But yeah. in this case, it has hindered us in our ability to move forward with
right.
prosecuting these that need to be prosecuted.
Yeah, and the fact that he's nonverbal, I'm sure, makes this, you know, more difficult to navigate as well. And I hope that if there are parents that are listening to this and they have children, you know, in that particular school and maybe in the special needs, you know, classrooms there at Woodland Park Elementary School in White County, if their children are verbal, that they will ask them, you know, some questions about what's going on and they will do their due diligence to research this and make sure that their child, you know, wasn't a potential victim of these alleged, you know, abuses. But I really want to commend you for being willing to step up and speak out about this. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some things that parents can do and issue a call to action here from your perspective of what you think can finally stop things like this from happening in our public school system. So we need to take a quick break. Join us right back.
Hey everybody, this is Johnny with Rubik's Groove, and you are listening to WKOM 101.7 FM.
We all live very busy lives. Sometimes we just need a break. Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra pair of hands to help out? Let me introduce you to New Dawn Cleaning Service. No job is too big or too small because they do it all, from residential to commercial. They offer standard cleaning, construction cleaning, carpet shampooing, and window cleaning. Whether you are looking for a one-time service or regular scheduled cleaning plan, New Dawn is ready to help. With years of experience, you can relax, kick back, and call New Dawn Cleaning Service at 615-977-6901.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
Hi, Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Art Deco period jewelry is classic, and we carry some beautiful rings, necklaces, and earrings. Art Deco fashion was one of the major artistic influences in the 1920s and 30s. The look has endured till today. Stop by Tillis Jewelry and see for yourself our collection of engagement rings to beautiful necklaces. I'm sure we'll find a special piece just for you.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia, owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist, assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
Hi, Jimmy here for Columbia Ace Hardware. Columbia Ace Hardware now carries Magnolia Home by Joanna Gaines paint. Now their premium quality and huge selection of colors will be right in your neighborhood, along with the award-winning service and advice Columbia Ace has always provided for your paint projects. Around the block, what you need in stock, with people who know their paint. Columbia Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's been said, there's nothing more powerful on earth than a praying mother. And there are mothers in our community praying for a miracle right now to have enough food so their kids don't go hungry. This Mother's Day, you could be an answer to a local mother's prayers by supporting the Well Outreach Food Pantry. For just $30, you can help feed a local mom and her family for an entire week. Give now at thewelloutreach.org. That's thewelloutreach.org.
Welcome back to Free Your Children. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and our guest today is anonymous. This particular guest has a child that used to attend Woodland Park Elementary School and White County Schools. There have been allegations of abuse at that school. This parent's son was one of the children involved in this alleged abuse. He's been sharing his story. We're thankful that he has had the courage to stand up and speak out. So many are not, for multiple reasons. They're afraid of retribution. They don't want to cause a stir in the community. You know, public schools in most communities are the number one employers. Oftentimes that comes with a whole host of issues that is created because of communities that revolve around the public school system. So I'm thankful for parents like you who are willing to stand up and be advocates for children and shine a light on things that need to be addressed. And this is definitely one of those things that need to be addressed. Woodland Park Elementary School in White County has had issues in the past, as well as White County schools in general, that Free Your Children has highlighted. Now, you've removed your son from the school, correct?
Yes, we did remove him.
Okay. And
that came with its own set of problems as well.
Right.
We were informed, actually just yesterday, we were informed that since we did withdraw him from the school, that if he does not return to school, that he loses his spot in the special eds program. And that's a bare minimum of at least a 6-month wait to get back into a classroom. But, you know, this is the only school that has this program for these kids, these ages. And that in itself is a problem, not only for the teachers that are having to, you know, account for so many students, that do require special needs, and there's only one qualified teacher in a classroom with two assistants. Mm-hmm. And those two assistants should never be allowed to enact any kind of discipline on these children because they are not trained to deal with these children. And right. The fact that this woman was trained and still the actions that she, you know, performed onto these children is just, why did you even get into it? Why did you take the extra time to get the special training if this is how you're going to treat them?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a question that I have when I keep hearing these reports over and over again is this: if you can't handle the job or you don't like the job, if you feel like you are not qualified to deal with children who have special needs or just children in general, because abuse doesn't just happen in the special needs community, it happens across the board, as you could hear, you know, from the statistics that I read at the beginning of the show. So my question to individuals that are involved in education or just dealing with children in general, if you are overwhelmed or you do not feel qualified or you are understaffed and it is causing you to act out aggressively toward children, whether that be verbally or physically, you need to get out of the profession. Find a different job. That's one piece of advice I have. Now, if you could, you have a platform right now with this radio show. What is your advice to parents? What do you think they need to do?
Listen to the kids. Mm-hmm. Don't take anything for granted. If they even say, hey, they were mean, do your due diligence. Go find out what they mean by they were being mean.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I will also say this. If you believe that your child has been abused in any form or fashion at school, don't just stop at reporting that to the administrators at the school. Go and file a formal police report.
Absolutely.
And then,
and like what we're experiencing is the fact that the school, okay, they were able to directly input this incident report mm-hmm. onto the DCF website.
Yes.
But in the school itself, there is no paper trail of any kind of incident reports. They don't have any. And that's what we've come to find out. And that needs to be 1,000%. That needs to be happening before it goes onto a website. So there is a paper trail.
Yeah. And see, that goes back to they're allowed to self-report. So you're right. So it's going to take parents really doing the hard work to hold them accountable. And if there's no transparency, like you said, there's no paperwork, so there's no paper trail. Well, that's because there's a lack of transparency. I mean, obviously, from the story that you've told, even dealing with the school, you've received multiple different stories about this, correct?
Yes, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. So the teacher herself, she wasn't the one that reported it. She reported it to the principal, who then, you know, she could have gotten words mixed up. She could have
right.
She could have left stuff out. And the other disturbing fact is that this is the last 4 weeks of school that we're finding out about this. Mm-hmm. They've had an entire year where this could have been handled. And other kids in the school, this makes us worry about coaching. These kids are being coached into this, to being okay with these actions happening to them. And they're not saying anything because it's been happening to them for so long.
Right. Did you ever get an opportunity to speak directly with a paraprofessional who kind of blew the whistle on this?
No, and I asked because when I was informed, I had a meeting at the school with the principal and the vice principal and Dr. Larry Thompson in person, and I asked for a copy of the report, and they said, we don't have one. It goes directly on the website. And then I said, well, I'd like to speak with the teacher that reported it to you. Mm-hmm. And they gave me the okay. They said, okay, that's fine. Let's go get her. One of them stepped out to go grab her from, I guess, her classroom or whatever. And next thing we know, Larry Thompson is saying, we don't know if this is a good idea legally. And then she came right back in and said that the woman was not comfortable with speaking with us.
Were you given her name?
No, we weren't given anything.
Yeah. See, that's it. So if you're that person, if you're listening to this radio show and you are the person that blew the whistle on this abuse and kind of open this up where the parents were required to be notified, you know what, it's hard to do the right thing. I can only imagine that she's probably in fear that she may lose her job, or there may be other ramifications. First off, I'm certain that paraprofessionals do not make very much money. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I would encourage that person to come forward to have a conversation with the parents of the children who were allegedly victimized, because if she saw something that she felt like was so egregious that she needed to report it, I feel like the parents are owed a conversation. I feel like, you know, I would hope that she would be brave enough to come to the parents and tell the parents exactly what she witnessed. If you're listening to this, I would encourage you to do that, because that's the only way to stop this. I do commend her for being willing to, you know, bring it out in the open to begin with, because like you said, there's 4 weeks of school left and you're just now finding out about it. And how long could this have potentially been going on? So,
right.
You know, I'm thankful that you were notified, but we need to do more. And so what are you willing to continue to press this issue to rally other parents?
Oh, yes. We're not stopping until we receive what we believe to be justice.
Right.
And that's going to be all three of these women involved being charged.
Yeah.
We want to have their license removed. We want them to never be able to work with children again in, you know.
Right.
Ever.
Right. Well,
to be happening.
Well, you know, I want to commend you for being, willing to speak out. I would also encourage you and other parents that may find themselves in this situation to contact the Tennessee Department of Education and file formal complaints, contact your representatives, contact the media as well, and just reach out and bring awareness to this particular issue, because this is pervasive across the board. We're running out of time, but I want to thank Safe Storage for sponsoring today's show and JP Financial Services. And I want to leave you with this: extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Ecclesiastes 7:7. You know, abuse is never okay. We need to make sure that we have advocates for the children. Again, everyone in these instances are they're innocent until proven guilty, but we do feel like that attention needs to be shined on this. I thank you for being willing to come forward and step forward in an attempt to protect the children. I will keep you updated on this. Follow Free Your Children for updates. And I'm going to leave you with this. Jesus loves you. Remember that. And Jesus also loves the little children. So as Christians, we need to do what Jesus would want us to do, and that is to protect those who need a voice. Thank you for joining us.